ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this morning we heard Vidura asking about the sons of Madri, Nakula and Sahadev, and then he asked about Kunti, or Pritha herself. Who's next? Who?
I can't hear you.
Nobody is next.
No? The other side of his family. Dhritarashtra. I'm surprised. Yeah, he's Draupadi. Anyway. Text 41 and 42 from Canto 3, Chapter 1. O gentle one, Vidura addressing Uddhava. I simply lament for he who rebelled against his brother after death. Who's that? Dhritarashtra. Who is Dhritarashtra's brother? Pandu. How did he rebel against his brother after death? Oh, scholarly students. He took over the kingdom. The heir to Maharaj Shantanu was, well, first it was Chitrangada, and then it was Vichitravirya. But following the death of Chitrangada and Vichitravirya, these three brothers were born, and Pandu was the heir to the throne. And after Pandu's death, the firstborn sons, Yudhisthira, was the heir to the throne. And he, Dhritarashtra, rebelled against his brother Pandu by usurping the kingdom. By him, I was driven out of my own house. Although I am his sincere well-wisher, because he accepted the line of action adopted by his own sons. It wasn't exactly that Dhritarashtra drove him out, it was his sons who drove him out. And he went along with it by remaining silent. He could have said, no, stop, I'm the king. He didn't. He remained silent. Prabhupada spoke like this on a number of occasions, that silence means affirmation, or someone says something that's refutable and you don't refute it, then it stands. So Duryodhan said, get out. And Dhritarashtra remained silent. Purport. Vidura did not ask about the welfare of his elder brother. Everyone else is, how are they doing? How are they faring? Are they running the kingdom according to religious principle? Please tell me about their welfare. He didn't ask about Dhritarashtra's welfare because there was no chance of his well-being. Only news of his gliding down to hell. Vidura was a sincere well-wisher for Dhritarashtra. should be of Dhritarashtra. And he had a thought about him in the corner of his heart. Of course, we know later he's going to go back and deliver Dhritarashtra. But even before he goes back, he's thinking of his welfare. He lamented that Dhritarashtra could rebel against the sons of his dead brother Pandu, and that he could drive him, Vidura, out of his own house on the dictation of his crooked sons. In spite of these actions, Vidura never became an enemy of Dhritarashtra, but he continued to be his well-wisher. This is, of this evening's class, this is one of the two main points that you should take from this, by Vidura's example. One who becomes inimical towards you, or an aggressor towards you, or hostile towards you, or mean and cruel towards you, you should never become inimical towards them, or hostile towards them, or aggressive towards them. This is a Vaishnava principle. Rather, you continue to be their well-wisher. Who can think of other examples from our Vaishnava personalities where someone became the aggressor towards that Vaishnava, and the Vaishnava did not feel ill towards that person but felt their well-wisher? Prahlad Maharaj. Haridas Thakur. Very good. Who else? Ambarish Maharaj. It's a long list. It's not like you're running out of... Pariksit Maharaj. Okay, who else? Huh? I can't hear you. You're both talking at the same time. Who? Dhruva Maharaj. Well, he was wanted to get back. Lord Nityananda. Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda. It was Lord Nityananda who was hit in the head with a clay pot, and his head was bleeding. He was thinking, that's all right. Just take the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Chant the holy name. Right? Anyone else? The Vaishnava principle. Huh? Pariksit Maharaj was mentioned, right?
Draupadi towards Ashwatthama.
Draupadi towards Ashwatthama. Very good. What about Krishna himself? Yes. Speak clearly. Disciple of Ramanujacharya. Kuresha. That's what you said? Yes. Very good. Krishna. Satrajit was calling him a murderer. Openly. Krishna didn't become angry. This is high character, but it's the difference between being moved by the modes of nature and being moved by the internal potency of the Lord. When you're moved by the internal potency of the Lord, if you sit right by the door, people can't get in. So you have to move over a little bit. And if you can move forward a little bit, then there's room. Look at this. Look at all that space. But don't sit right by the door, because then somebody comes in and they'll have this, you get squished. Very good. Very good. Okay. Because this other person that's behaving badly, there's this saying, it's not a Vaishnava saying, but it I mean, it's not a Vedic saying, but it's a Vaishnav saying. If you knew the trials and tribulations of sufferings of another person, you could easily forgive them for their transgressions. Because when somebody does something that's mean in spirit, what's behind that? They're suffering terribly. And because they're suffering terribly, they do something that's mean. But inside, there's a deeper hurt. They're suffering very, very much. Prabhupada would often refer to Jesus Christ, that he was like that. And then almost immediately after referring to Jesus Christ, he would refer to what devotee of Lord Chaitanya, who said, transfer all the... Vasudevdat. Transfer all of the sinful reactions of the entire population of the universe onto me, and I will suffer so that they can be delivered. So this compassion of a Vaishnav isn't, well, it's okay for everybody except those that are mean to me, and those that are mean to me, you feel they should go to hell. You feel compassionate towards everyone. And at the last stage of Dhritarashtra's life, it was Vidura only who proved to be his real friend. Such is the behavior of a Vaishnav, like Vidura. He desires all good, even for his enemies. So, Vidura's, again, not asking about the welfare of Dhritarashtra, although he's concerned about his welfare. He knows that by his behaviors, he's not going to do well. So he didn't ask, you know, what suffering is Dhritarashtra now experiencing because of all of his sinful activities? He didn't ask that question. But he's thinking about his welfare. Then, text 42, I am not astonished at this. Having traveled all over the world without being seen by others, the activities of the personality of Godhead, which are like those of a man in this mortal world, are bewildering to others, but I know of his greatness by his grace, and thus I am happy in all respects. So, in this purport, there's three things, but most outstanding of them is what it takes to be a genuine renunciate. Prabhupada is speaking about this. A genuine renunciate is one who, well, they're pure. Because they're pure, they have no fear. So they can go anywhere and everywhere and be happy. They're not dependent upon circumstance. And one who's dependent upon circumstance is sure to be unhappy. Because, A, circumstances never endure. So whatever makes you happy, wait a while, it's gone, and then you're unhappy. But even that which is so-called happy is not happy. It's depriving the soul of real happiness by taking shelter in something that's not really of the soul. You're being robbed of real happiness. It's minus real happiness, and then it changes. And then, oh, my happiness is gone. It's all illusion. So, another point is that Prabhupada uses two phrases in the purport that are refrains. They keep appearing and appearing and appearing and appearing and appearing in the Bhagavatam. And one of them is the phrase Narayana Para. What do you know from the first canto Bhagavatam, O scholars of the first canto Bhagavatam, or this phrase Narayana Para? Actually, it's presented Vasudeva Para, but it's the same meaning. What is that verse? Who knows that verse? Vasudeva Para Veda Vasudeva Param Gatihi Vasudeva Param Dharmo, etc. There's eight things. The Supreme is Vasudeva. And a Vasudeva Parayana is one who has taken shelter of, full, exclusive shelter of that Supreme. So that's what's described in this verse, rather in the purport. Abhayam sattva samshuddhihi. I'll read what Prabhupada writes. A person should not be in the renounced order of life unless he is firmly convinced of being protected by the Lord. This stage of life is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhihi. So what does Shuddhi mean? Shuddhi. Shuddha. Shuddha. What's the meaning? Shuddha. What does sattva mean? Goodness. What does shuddha sattva mean? Pure goodness. So what does shuddha mean? Pure. Very good. Very good. And samshuddha. Sam means complete. As kirtan and sankirtan. So sam means complete. Samshuddhi, completely pure. Sattva, samshuddhi. One whose existence is completely pure. One whose existence is completely pure, abhayam. Bhaya and abhaya. Meaning? Fearless. Abhayam. Just like Srila Prabhupada was given the name by his father, Abhay. And when he was initiated, Bhaktisiddhanta gave him the name Abhay Charan. And so we then, A.C. Bhaktivedanta. A.C. is Abhay Charan. Bhaktivedanta. A.C. Bhaktivedanta. So Abhay is fearless. One who is sattva, samshuddhihi, one whose existence is fully purified, abhayam. They have no fear. They have no fear because there's no illusion left. There's no illusion left because they've taken full shelter of reality, of transcendental reality. There's no illusion left. There's no shelter in illusion. So whatever happens, they remain fearless. And that's the condition that Prabhupada is describing in the purport that Vidura had achieved, and he is describing that. I've been in all types of situations, like our mantra, Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Gatopiva. So, pavitra and apavitra. What does that mean? Pavitra and apavitra. Pure and impure. Pavitra is pure. Apavitra is not pure, impure. Sarva vasam gatoviva, having passed through all different circumstances of life, just like Narada when he left after his mother had been bitten by that serpent and she died. He went and traveled and experienced all varieties of life, in cities, in forests, in villages, in towns, on mountains, by the ocean. He was everywhere and always performing his practice, fixing his mind upon the personality of Godhead. And thus he remained fearless. He became purified and thus remained fearless. This stage of life is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Abhayam sattva samshuddhihi. Every living entity is factually completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, but unless one is in the pure state of existence, he cannot be established in this position. That means he's taken some other shelters, has some other idea of how I can be safe, how I can be happy, how I can enjoy some other shelter. But in the position of purity, there's only one shelter. And that in that one shelter, one is feeling oneself exclusively dependent. It's not one is feeling, now I'm independent. I'm exclusively dependent upon the Supreme. This stage of dependence is called sattva samshuddhihi, or purification of one's existence. The result of such purification is exhibited in fearlessness. So, to be a sannyasi, one has to be fearless. One can go here and go there, and one always feels, I'm not alone, although it looks alone. I'm not alone. I'm always with the protective hand of the Supreme Lord. A devotee of the Lord who is called Narayana Para is never afraid of anything because he is always aware of the fact that the Lord protects him in all circumstances. So Vidura is describing himself in that way to Uddhava, that having traveled all over the world without being seen by others, so it means his relatives didn't know where he was. He wasn't checking in, making cell phone calls, mobile phone calls, sending SMS messages to his relatives saying, I'm okay. In fact, I took some pictures. I'll send them as an attached file. They didn't know where he was. And he didn't know where they were. And he wasn't feeling unhappy, despite he had left his own home. He wasn't feeling angry, resentful towards Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. He understood the consequences for their acting that way is not going to be good for them, and so he was concerned. But he was feeling their well-wisher, but not fearful. With this conviction, Vidura traveled alone, and he was not seen or recognized by any friend or foe. Thus, he enjoyed freedom of life without obligation to the many duties of the world. So, it may seem to the attached materialist that a renunciate is a beggar. The renunciate sees that the attached person is receiving everything that he has from the same source that the renunciate is receiving everything that he has, except that the materialist is an illusion, thinking that he's the cause of everything that he has. And because of that illusion, he's suffering. And is never happy. And is envious of others who have more. Is afraid of others who may come to take what he has. It's a very sorry state. And so he'd like to give transcendental knowledge to that attached person, seeing that he's suffering. But the renunciate has freedom, like Narada. You had a mosquito there, yeah. Big one. You have big mosquitoes here, like a horse. Narada was free to travel anywhere and everywhere. Didn't have to worry about running out of fuel or anything. Didn't have to worry about anything. And very quickly he could travel from one place to another by his mystic power, because of his complete attachment to the Supreme. Complete attachment to the Supreme. By that complete attachment to the Supreme, he had the greatest freedom. Some voluntary restriction, yes, but that voluntary restriction is a license for freedom. Prabhupada begins the purport by describing, although he was the brother of Dhritarashtra, Vidura was completely different. By the grace of the Lord, he was not foolish, like his brother. And thus, his brother's association could not influence him. Very important. We're moving about the world, where ignorance is abundant. Overly abundant. To find somebody that has a little bit of knowledge, it looks like Prabhupada used the phrase, in a desert, a castor plant looks like a tree. A castor plant is, you know, it's like a little... But because there's no trees, oh, there's a tree. It's diminutive, it's very small. Plant. So, in this world, a little knowledge looks like, wow, that person's very intelligent. But that very intelligent person may not even know who he is and the goal of life and ABC. A devotee, however, by dint of good fortune, by good association, we can know the goal of life. And we may not have, as Prabhupada says, MA, PhD. We may not have some high degree. But the standard of real knowledge is established by knowing our true identity and the goal of life. Immediately that places one beyond the mayaya parita jnana, asarim bhavamashrita, those whose knowledge has been stolen away by illusion. And in that situation, we can move about the world, or even in this case, in case of Vidura, having as a brother a very deluded person, and as a nephew, Duryodhan, one of the nastiest people on the planet. One of the reasons why Krishna came to appear in this world was to eliminate such impious personalities, and he did, through the agency of Arjuna. So, with this position of fearlessness is also the position of protection. We'll say it the other way. With the position of protection, there's fearlessness. So one can be in the intimate contact with Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and not be influenced by that. In fact, the other way around, influence them. Vidura was able to influence Dhritarashtra later. There were several things that made later better or more possible. One was all of his sons were gone. And all his vitality was gone. But on the other side also, Vidura had all of this purification. And he had Maitreya's association. He had become a perfected soul. So in the right time, in the right circumstance, he was able to deliver that bad association personality. Because he maintained concern and compassion for his well-being. Not just because he was his brother, but because he was actually a great soul who, through his attachments, had become contaminated. It was like Narada, one by one by one, he delivered so many personalities, Valmiki and Mrgari the hunter and all the lines of the kings of Uttanapada, starting with his Uttanapada's son and then Uttanapada himself and then so many kings and the whole line of Swayambhuva Manu, down to King Prajinibari, one after the next, Daksha, Narada is very, very determined, Nalakuvera and Manigriva is very, very determined in his compassion. And because of that, so many persons were delivered from their material condition of life. Because he had received mercy, he was able to give it. And he wasn't ill affected by that association. Dhritarashtra and his materialistic sons wanted to falsely lord it over the world by dint of their own strength. The Lord encouraged them to do this. And thus they became more and more bewildered. But Vidura wanted to achieve sincere devotional service of the Lord and therefore became a soul absolutely surrendered to the absolute personality of Godhead. He could realize this in the progress of his pilgrim's journey. I'm going to stop on that phrase. Prabhupada, it's one of the refrains, the pilgrim's journey, or a pilgrim's journey. He used that phrase again and again, almost as if investing his own special meaning in it. There's a contemporary book, Pilgrim's Progress. But it's different. The theme is, but pilgrim means that the sojourner, the wanderer, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's verse, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev. One who is wandering and wandering and wandering, lifetime after lifetime. But when one takes that wandering session and becomes a pilgrim, that means in search of something divine, in search of God, in search of one's connection with God, the pilgrim's journey. So Vidura was on that pilgrim's journey. And because he was seeking, Krishna helped him find. There's this biblical saying that Prabhupada would refer to. Seek and you shall find. Very simple phrase. If you're not looking for something, you could bump into it and you wouldn't even recognize it because you're not even thinking about it. You're thinking about sense gratification and you bump into a pure devotee or Krishna. You don't even recognize it because you're not looking for it. A good opportunity can easily be lost if one isn't tuned into the value of that good opportunity. So, Vidura could realize the absolute truth, the absolute personality of Godhead, because he was on such a pilgrim's journey. And as a result, he became progressively more and more and more detached from the worldly circumstances which people find, or in which people invest their hopes for happiness. If I can just get this position, or if I can just get this job, or get this money, or get this something, then I can be happy. Chasing and chasing. Lifetime after lifetime. That's the pilgrimage of a fool. But the pilgrimage of a saintly person is searching for the personality of Godhead. And when such a person, that cultivation of connection with the Supreme results in detachment from the temporary. Not irresponsible in relation to the temporary, but detached from the temporary through attachment to the eternal. Fifth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says what is called what is called renunciation is nothing other than linking with the Supreme. For no one can become renounced without linking with the Supreme. The real standard of detachment is attachment to the Supreme. The last paragraph, Prabhupada writes, when Lord Sri Krishna is personally present in the mortal world, in his eternal blissful form as Shyama Sundara, those who are not pure devotees of the Lord could not recognize him or know his glories. Avajananti mamudha manushim tanamashritam. He is always bewildering to the non-devotees, but he is always seen by the devotees by dint of their pure devotional service unto him. So the conclusion of the verse is that although he passed through so many circumstances, Vidura's saying, that he could nonetheless understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as a result, he was always happy. Who is it that doesn't want happiness? Everyone wants to be happy. And the converse, no one wants to be unhappy. Said positively again, everyone wants to be happy. Without exception, everyone wants to be happy. And that position of happiness, in any circumstances of life, is by knowing Krishna and feeling Krishna's shelter. That's the reward for one who takes this pilgrim's journey seeking Krishna's shelter. Then you're always happy in any circumstance. You may act in relation to the circumstance, but your happiness is not determined by the circumstance. You have some service to do. And that service may change. In fact, like my circumstance right now, this is just a few days after I completed a very exhausting service, very challenging service, very wonderful service, being the GBC chairman in, 18 days, like the Battle of Kurukshetra, the GBC meeting, morning till night, and it's over. So that was, now there's another kind of service ahead. It's altogether different than the platform of sense gratification of a worldly person. So, in life, there are times for this and there's times for that. And there's time for the other thing. And that's nice. That's how Krishna's organized it or arranged it. And it's for our purification. Something comes our way. Some service comes our way. And it's our service for some time, and we should do it as nicely as we can in a mood of serving Krishna. The circumstance changes. We take on another service to do it as nicely as we can in service to Krishna. The theme is service to Krishna for his pleasure. And then you're happy in any circumstance, whatever the service is. It's such anxiety for the person who thinks the circumstance needs to be just, you know, like thus and so, and then I can be happy. Whew. Terrible. Miserable life. It's not our position. And assuming that false position, it's just complete anxiety. What to speak of missing the real happiness of life. So, Vidura is pausing. He's going to ask some further questions of Uddhava, but he's now pausing, reflecting on all these wonderful personalities that he's just mentioned the names of, ending with Dhritarashtra and saying, but nothing is surprising to him. Nor is he attached to any of it, because he's attached to the personality of Godhead. And because of that, he's feeling perfectly happy, whatever the circumstance. Indirectly, he's indicating, I know that they've gone, but I'm feeling the Lord's shelter and his protection. So all is well. I'm very happy. Okay, so any comments or questions? Yes?
There's this phrase that we find what we look for, or seek and you shall find.
Yeah.
When one is not knowledge, he doesn't know what to look for, or even the presence of a saintly person, or he does not know what is a saintly person, he does not know. So how does...
He knows what sense gratification is, so he comes to the saintly person and says, oh, can you help me get some sense gratification? Because he doesn't know. But then, by hearing, that ignorance can be dispelled. So the principle is, by culture, one should come to a saintly person to hear, not to ask for benedictions and blessings for sense gratification. He's got to turn the volume way up for your voice. Go ahead.
While executing our services, we deal with materialists, and sometimes we get cheated, or sometimes they block us, or sometimes
in the course of service, sometimes people try to cheat us, or sometimes they try to interfere, make an obstacle. That's a service too, right? Well, such persons cannot stop devotional service. That's one thing that certainty should be there. The example that's given is the Ganges flowing downstream in the rainy season. Who can stop the Ganges flowing downstream in the rainy season? Answer, nobody. So similarly, someone that may create an obstacle or something, can they stop? No, they can't stop. But why would they want to stop? Like, what's in their heart that makes them want to stop the flow of devotional service? They'll get, it depends on the circumstance, of course, but if it's like an ordinary one, spend time with the person. Try to understand, what their concern is. Maybe they just need some good association. As you're asking the question and I'm answering your question, I'm thinking of some circumstances that in our GBC service, there are persons that are making obstacles. But by giving attention to those individuals and finding out what their concerns and their needs are, you know, the difficulty subsides, the resistance diminishes, and what's behind it is there's some need, some requirement. Give some energy and some attention to that need and some requirement. And the behavior or the speech or whatever it is subsides, and you're addressing what the real issue is. Even Kali Yuga is so degraded, there's one leg of religiosity that's remaining, and that's truth. So stand by the truth. Krishna showed that by his example and others. And if there's some, in the course of service, some obstacle or some cheating or something or other going on, stand by the truth. It will prevail. Don't deviate from truth in order to remove the obstacle or deal with the person who's stealing. Abide by truth. Abide by virtue. That's the principle throughout Mahabharata and Ramayana. Abide by truth. Abide by virtue. It will prevail. It can get very interesting sometimes. When doing that, holding steadfast to that principle. Not, you know, beating people up with the truth, but just abide by the truth. It prevails. And feel some compassion. Your question specifically, how to exhibit that compassion or how to feel that compassion. The other person that's not abiding by the truth, or to the degree that I'm not abiding by the truth, then they're suffering. Make sure, you know, so extend oneself to that other individual. And all kinds of things can come out. This isn't Satya Yuga. It's not Treta Yuga. It's not Dwarpa Yuga. It's Kali Yuga. So over trifles, people will quarrel and do mischievous things in order to achieve some purpose. And then comes, you know, Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. So the compassion needs to be exhibited. It really is an exhibition of compassion. Lord Chaitanya's mission and his message is an exhibition of compassion. And that's what should be in one's heart. When that's what's in one's heart, the other person will feel it. They may test it. Do you really care? Or you just want to, like, you know, do your service, like, as in control? Or do you really care? And people see that you really care. Their hearts soften. And whatever that something that's behind the obstacle that they're creating can be touched and addressed. There's some persons that are just incorrigible. They can't. But largely it's not like that. Persons are suffering. Because they're suffering, they're behaving badly. They're speaking badly. So to be an agent of change, be in a position of purity. And in a position of purity, have compassion. Anything? Okay. I brought some Mahaprasadam with me from Mayapur. You have that back? So I'm going to give out a little Mahaprasadam.